Today's sponsor is Bella Rose. Bella Rose is a small business that sells skincare products that I absolutely love because they're not only high quality, but they're really good for your skin. And honestly, it just makes me feel so much better knowing that I'm putting things on my skin that are great for my body. They're not going to cause any harm down the road. And I love their rose petal bath bomb. It's honestly my favorite thing. So if you want to try Bella Rose products, if you use the link in these show notes, you can get 10% off your first order. Honestly, try it out, guys. You will not be disappointed. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of All Things Apple. I'm here joined by one of my best friends, Aiden Mann, and we both love Apple. So this basically was the perfect opportunity to have somebody on because we're going to talk about the event that happened today. So how are you feeling about this, Aiden?
I'm feeling pretty good. I thought the event had a lot of things, especially for like a March event. They're not usually that large, but they had a lot of content, and I'm looking forward to discussing it.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised. I was watching this during class. I hope none of my teachers hear this. And if they do, I'm sorry, but Apple is always most important. School comes second. don't follow after me. But yeah, so I was watching the entire thing. I kind of had some glitch moments where I couldn't watch it and I had to like reload the page because school Wi-Fi sucks, but you know, it's fine.
Yeah, I had the fortune of having a half day today, so I was able to watch the whole event when I got home, and I did zone out for some things, but I did get the majority of it.
I'm so jealous of you for that half day, but the first thing, I'm just going to like go off Apple's website and we can talk about each thing. So the first thing listed here is the studio display. Now, like, I will never buy the studio display or the Mac studio, but the studio display seems nice and it's like cheaper than the Pro Display XDR. So like, how do you feel about that?
I think it's a great display. It seems to have more features, I think, than the Pro Display XDR with the camera. But one thing that kind of did annoy me is that it's still like $1,500. It's still well outside the price range of an average consumer, which is kind of frustrating because I was hoping that Apple would release a display that would cater to the consumer market. Well, this one just seems to be more of a low end, not low end by any stretch, but a lower end of sorts display for creators.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm kind of confused by the announcement of this display and the what's it called? Mac Studio. Because on one hand, like the display, it doesn't seem quite as high, not high performance. What's the word I'm looking for? Like intense and like super pro as the Pro Display XDR. Yet it's not like, so it's not as expensive, right? So like it makes it seem like, oh, maybe this is for like a pro consumer, that and it has like the camera and speakers. But the Mac Studio is like super expensive and it's really, really powerful. Like no one will actually need that power unless they're making feature films. So I just don't understand where they were going with this. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it seems like an ultra high-end consumer display more than anything else. I mean, it has a built-in camera and supposedly really good speakers. I'm curious to see when people actually get their hands on these displays how good they actually are. The same with the Mac Studio. I'm curious to see if it performs as well as Apple says it's going to.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems pretty similar to the Pro Display XDR, yet like sort of like you said, lower end. Because I'm pretty sure Pro Display XDR, wasn't that more than 5K in resolution?
Yeah, it was. It was like 6K or something like that.
Yeah, because this is 5K. It's 27 inches, and I don't know if that's the same size as the Pro Display. I kind of want to look it up.
I think it's smaller, slightly.
It's
the size of a 27-inch iMac. But My question is that this display seems to be pretty good, and I think it actually has more features than the Pro Display XDR has. I'm pretty sure the Pro Display XDR doesn't have a camera.
Yeah, I'm just kind of confused like
Yeah.
by who this is for and who the Pro Display XDR is for,
Yeah,
because it's just it seems like a really, like you said, really expensive consumer display, yet it's also like too expensive for your average consumer. Like, who wants to spend that much on a screen?
but this also, I feel like this is going to take sales away from the Pro Display XDR more than anything else, because I feel like with this kind of display, it's going to take people, instead of shelling out, was it $6,000?
5,000 for the screen, but 1,000 for the stand.
I wonder how much the stand for the, I don't know if they said, but I didn't catch how much the stand for these was gonna were gonna be.
I was looking earlier and it includes like a stand that just tilts, but then I think you can buy another one extra that sort of like goes up and down and can change orientation just like the Pro Display.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
saw that too, but
Well, that and you can, okay. So it's 15, well, not 15,000, $1,599 for a standard one that has like regular shiny glass. And then there's the nano texture glass, which makes it 1,899. And then you have the option of a tilt adjustable stand that's included, or you can get the tilt and height adjustable stand. That one is, oh, so it brings up the price to 1,999. So then it becomes a $2,000 screen if you want to use all the features that they listed. So, I mean, I just don't know who would buy this other than like YouTubers.
or the same be again, this is like for the same market of people who are going to use the Pro Display XDR, and there's already display for that market, so I just don't I don't see the market for this. I would have rather
Yeah.
Apple created a consumer level display that's like $200, $300, $400. I'm guessing they're assuming that people are going to buy, like, are gonna buy like an iMac, like consumers are gonna buy the iMac, and it's not there anyone who, I guess they just don't care about the Mac Mini anymore, because that's what it seems like.
Yeah, honestly, I'm surprised they didn't either come out with like a cheaper consumer level display or just replace the Pro Display XDR with something sort of up to par with that, but cheaper. Because I know there were a lot of YouTubers saying, like, okay, this is a little ridiculous, like that much money for a monitor. And I mean, I would never buy it, even like even this studio display, I would never buy it, right? Like, it's still too expensive for me because I don't need a monitor like that. Like, I've
Yeah.
been looking at monitors sometimes just like here and there on Amazon, and I can never find one that looks nice that is also not super expensive. And it's just so frustrating to see that this is $1,600. Like, I could get two MacBooks basically for this price.
Yeah, I agree. And again, I feel like the only people who are actually going to use this are people with Mac Studios, which
Yeah.
from what it looks like, the Mac Studio is just like an ultra souped up Mac Mini. And that's like, actually, it is a pretty good price for what you're getting. But
Yeah, the starting price is, but the starting price only has like that base model. It only has the M1 Max, and I'm not saying that's not fast enough. Like, that is a
yeah.
really fast chip. But if you want the, what's it called, M1 Ultra, oh, my favorite name ever, then it goes up, I think, by 1,000. Let me check. But yeah, I can't fathom spending that much. Okay, so the base model is $2,000, and then if you get the one with the M1 Ultra, it's 4,000.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's.
Yeah. I just could never. I mean, it's not meant for your average person, I guess. It just seems insane. $4,000.
I mean, it's cheaper than the Mac Pro.
Yeah.
So that's the market it's aimed for, so
Yeah, I
I guess it
guess.
makes sense.
It does. Yeah. It's definitely not meant for us. I just feel like leaving the Pro Display XDR on Apple's website and in stores just doesn't make sense to me. Like now I just feel like they should get rid of the Pro Display XDR and maybe even the Mac Pro. But I don't know if you caught it, like towards the end of the event, they said that all that they have left to basically transition over to Apple Silicon is Mac Pro. So
Yeah, I did get that.
are they updating that too? Because
There's
this
no
kind
point.
of, yeah, like this kind of seems like a Mac Pro replacement. I just don't understand why they didn't brand this as a Mac Pro.
Yeah, me neither. That's kind of how I see this. Unless they're going to bring an even higher end model, but I don't see the point.
Yeah, I feel like the way they were advertising this, it just seems like, okay, who needs more power than that? But also, why design a whole other computer? Like maybe they could just spec bump this if they really wanted something more powerful. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we'll
I
have to
mean,
see
it
what
just
they
doesn't
do.
make much sense. Like I'm confused. I'm excited to see where Apple takes the rest of the Apple Silicon transition, but I'm also just I don't know like what's
Yeah,
happening.
I mean, we have at least two other events. We have at least
Yeah.
two other events to look forward to, this year. We get the WWDC event. That's usually software, but sometimes they have hardware stuff. And then, of course, there's the large September event to look forward to.
Yeah. I mean the September event. I feel like during the September event they're just going to come out with the new iPhones and maybe well, the new watch because they always do that and probably new AirPods Pro because I really thought they were coming at this event.
Yeah, well, I thought this event would be pretty small, although I did see the last minute front page tech episode. Where John Prosser leaked a lot of what was shown at this event. Although one thing that I don't think he expected, I don't know if he released a video since yesterday, but one thing that was released today that I found kind of surprising is the new iPad Air.
Oh yeah, I thought that was gonna be delayed.
I didn't expect it to have the M1 chip.
Yeah,
Honestly.
that was so surprising. I was watching, and literally, when they said that they were going to give it a spec bump, they were like, oh, we're, well, they didn't say spec bump because that's not really what they call it. But they said, like, oh, we're bringing more power to the iPad Air. And then they showed some weird animation, and they were like, M1 is now in the iPad Air. I about lost it because I was thinking, like, first of all, how many more devices are going to get M1? But, like, now you can get it in a $600 iPad? Like what? That's insane.
Yeah, I am certainly happy that that's now an option.
Yeah. I mean, I thought they'd at least keep it for the iPad Pros. And once they announced that they were putting that in the iPad Air, I was like, what about the iPad Pro? Like, are you gonna stick an M1 Pro in the next iPad Pro? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm what my guess is that they're gonna break. Is that again for the full size iPads? I think all the full size iPads now have M1 chips. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so the iPad Air does.
Except for the regular iPad.
Yeah, so the iPad Air, iPad Pro 11 inch and 12.9 inch, but the iPad Mini that has, I think, an A15 and the regular one, the just iPad, like cheapo iPad, $300 one, that one is, I don't know what processor, but it's not an A15, I don't think.
I think they're still using like the A14 or something, maybe the A13.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I thought that when they updated the iPad Air, they would have a new display in it. 'Cause weren't there some leaks about like an OLED iPad Air?
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know if I saw that. I don't think I saw that, but there might have been.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I am definitely impressed with the iPad Air. I mean, other than the processor, it doesn't look much different. They have a new blue color that looks a little more saturated, which I'm happy about. I saw the original blue iPad Air and it was too light. It was definitely not saturated enough and I was kind of confused. Like I am a little colorblind, so that could be it too, but I
Yeah.
do appreciate the colors that are more saturated. So
This one's nice.
For a second, I forgot that the iPad Air got the new design. so when you said iPad Air, I was thinking of, like, the previous gen, like, 10.2-inch iPad Air.
Yeah, the one with the home button.
The one with the home button, but yeah, I know, and now I remember it has the new design. I might actually consider getting that, maybe, if I can save up enough money.
Yeah, I thought about getting one, because I have a 6th generation iPad, and if I trade it in, I think I could get like $300 for it or something. Or not 300, no, that's too much. I think like 160, and I kind of wanted to do that, but I can't make up my mind. I barely use it, so I'm pretty sure I'm just going to end up trading it in and getting a gift card for it and then waiting to see like what I'm actually going to buy, because I still have this issue with the iPad Air where like I look at it on the website and I'm like, that's great and everything, but the M1 chip in the iPad Air just makes it seem more like a Pro, and you can get an 11-inch iPad Pro with the M1 chip in it on the certified refurbished page. And then you're not paying the same amount as an iPad Air. Yeah, you might be paying more, but you end up getting the 120Hz screen and the Face ID, which I really, really like. I kind of hate Touch ID. And just those two things alone kind of make me like weary about getting a new iPad Air.
For me, I don't know. I don't mind Touch ID as much, and I can't really see the... I can't really see the difference between 120Hz and 60Hz, so it might not be as big of a deal breaker for me, but I'll have to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really. It's not even just the fact that I notice 120Hz, because I have turned it off on my iPad Pro for a day. Just for those of you who don't know, I have a 12.9-inch iPad Pro from 2021, and I turned it off before and I didn't notice after a day. Like after, I'd say a few hours, I just kind of like was like, okay, this is normal now. Like I didn't have any thoughts of like, oh, this looks glitchy. Like if I'm using this iPad next to my 6th gen iPad, sometimes I do that and then I notice it. But I feel like if I just went back to a device that didn't have it, I wouldn't really miss it all that much, maybe for like the first day.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, but I need to get an iPad because I miss the large sized screen that I can directly interact with touch.
Well, I am looking on the certified refurbished store, and I think I was wrong. So you can't get an iPad Pro 11-inch with a M1 chip, but you can get the previous generation, which has the, I think it's A12Z.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that's fast enough. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
How much is it? Does it say?
$609.
So... same price.
Yeah, I guess it really just depends on whether or not you really want 120Hz. So maybe I should end up getting a iPad Air instead of a Pro.
Yeah. How much is the one with the M1 chip brand new? I haven't taken a look at the store in a while.
I'm pretty sure it's like 800 or 900. I don't know. I'm going to look. But yeah, I don't know. Like the... I would never actually spend my own money on a 12.9-inch iPad Air, or not Air, Pro, brand new. It just seems crazy to me. This one was from my school, so I didn't have to do that. But it's just, I don't know. It's expensive, and certified refurbished is basically new. They replaced the glass, the battery, and the aluminum enclosure.
Yeah.
It looks like just your base model with 128 gigs is 800.
So that's 200 more. You're really not getting that much more.
No, you're not, because it doesn't even have the mini LED display. And the new one that has the mini LED display is 1100 instead of 1000 like it used to be.
Yeah, that's a bit pricey. That's
Yeah, honestly, I don't know who the 11-inch iPad Pro is for anymore. I guess if you just really want the better camera and ProMotion and Face ID, I mean, I don't know if that would really make it worth it, but
I guess some people just like having an iPad. I
yeah,
mean,
I mean, that's fine, but
but I just I feel
personally,
like,
I think the Air is a pretty good choice now.
yeah, I agree. I miss the days when all when there was one iPad model. Maybe it's just me being nostalgic, but I miss the days when there was one iPad model that did everything and it was like $600.
I don't miss that only because the first iPad I bought with my own money was this sixth gen iPad. What is it? Just regular iPad. And I don't know. I liked that it was like an entry level price because I think iPads are great for like little kids and stuff, and you don't necessarily want to get them like an expensive $600 iPad. So I like that they have a cheaper one, but I think I miss the simplicity of having one option. Not necessarily just the fact that there was only one to choose from, because I kind of get the purpose of the cheapest iPad.
Yeah. I just also what I find bizarre is the naming scheme Apple has here. The Air is like the mid-ranged one, while the regular branded iPad is like the low end, and it's kind of odd to me. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
It
I
bothers
mean,
me.
the lowest end iPad, I feel like Apple is sort of this like premium brand, and the lowest end iPad looks kind of old and tired. And I'm genuinely surprised that they advertise it on the website in like pictures all over the place. Like when you hit iPad, you can scroll through and you will find pictures of this. They are kind of proud of the price point, I think, more than the design. But it does sort of bother me in a way that it hasn't been changed.
Yeah, I wish they called that the Air though.
Yeah, that would make the most sense, I think.
Yeah, I don't, 'cause when I think iPad, I do think when I take a look at the names Air, iPad Air, regular iPad Pro. Obviously iPad Pro is going to be at the high end, but I don't usually associate I would associate the iPad Air with the cheaper model. Not.
I feel like iPad Mini should really be like the cheapest. I don't know, like maybe it's just the way my
It
simple
is.
mind works, but like it should be like l smallest one is the cheapest one. And like I get the technology is probably not the same as like a bigger, cheaper iPad, like the entry level one, but I don't know. I feel like it doesn't make sense to like get a bigger iPad for cheaper when you could get a mini, but it's more expensive. And like, yeah, the design is different, but it's confusing. I don't know. To the average person, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
How much is the mini nowadays? Isn't it like I thought it was the cheapest model or the second? Isn't it like the second cheapest model? I think it's.
Yeah, the cheapest one is still the just iPad, but iPad mini, I think it got more expensive when they redesigned it. I'm gonna look. Oh, it comes in four colors. I didn't even know
Yeah.
that. So the base model with 64 gigs, it's $499.
That's little
I feel like
pricey
that's
for
a lot.
a mini.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like it's small. Is it really worth $500?
Although I do kind of like the mini though. My family loves the mini. Both my siblings have used various models of the mini, and I kind of like the form factor, but yeah, that's a little pricey.
Yeah, the form factor is nice, and the redesign has an 8.3-inch screen instead of 7.9 like all the others. So I like it. I think the new one's cool, but it's so expensive for a little tablet. Like, I mean, 8.3 inches is bigger than the old one, but it's still small. Like, it's cute and everything, and like the new colors make it cool, and I do like the new design without a home button, but I just don't know. Like, it's expensive for such a little thing, especially because when you have mini tablets and phones and stuff, it's the same reason why I didn't get a mini iPhone. It's because like the battery is so small. So, I mean, relative to an iPad Air, like it's going to age faster.
Also, from what I remember, that model of the Mini has this weird display glitch, defect that Apple, that's on all the Minis of that generation, and that Apple refuses to fix.
I read about that a lot, and apparently it's just like part of how LCD displays work, where like depending on which way they design it, they can design an LCD display so that if you're using it in landscape mode while you're scrolling up and down, it'll look smoother than if you would scroll left and right. And like on TVs and like computer displays, I'm pretty sure they make it so that it's smoother going up and down if you're scrolling. But then left and right, it's sort of more glitchy looking to the eye. And with the iPad mini, I think since it's like a smaller one, it was sort of harder to design for. And I think they changed it from the previous one because the previous iPad mini, it was, I don't remember which way they said that the new one is designed, but it basically they switched it and it's opposite of how the old displays were made. So I think I'm not super sure on like if that's completely accurate, but I remember reading something along the lines of that. So it kind of reminds me of like the iPhone battery thing where they were throttling iPhones. It's like Apple's in a tough situation, and I think they were just trying to like do something different and it kind of failed.
Yeah, because that's here's the thing though, that kind of, especially if you scroll a lot, I mean, if you're scrolling slowly, it's not going to be an issue. Like if you're skimming through something pretty quickly, then that is a little weird. And it's like one of those things that just shouldn't be a problem because the other minis and all the other iPads and the iPhones don't have that problem.
Yeah, I honestly don't know like what Apple could do to fix it now. Like they already have iPad minis made. They already have that it's been out for a while. Like I don't think they're gonna do anything,
Not for
but
this model.
I'm curious to see if they're going to do something with the next one. And we're going to have to wait forever to find that out. But I'm still curious, like, will they actually make changes to it? Or is it going to be one of those things that Apple's just like, nope, we're not changing it. Nothing's wrong with it.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if they're gonna release a new mini this year because I honestly hope they do because the mini, as I said, I love the form factor of the mini.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to release a new one this year because they redesigned it last year.
Yeah.
Usually they wait like a long time. Isn't it like 4 years or 3 years, something like that?
Well, there was a time where they released a new mini every year. But I know they released the five. This is the sixth gen, right? Yeah. So they released the five. And then the next year they released the six. Like the five, I believe, was released back in 2020.
Yeah, I think so.
And my sister actually has that. And
It might have been 2019, because I feel like
maybe it's
2020 was too recent.
maybe it was 2019. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Anyways, cause they re I think that was 2020. Anyway, I think they released the five in 2020 and then the six next year. So I don't know if they're gonna start doing it every year again. Maybe they'll do like a spec bomb. Although it already has the A15, I'm pretty sure. Does that have the A15?
Yeah, I think so. Hold on, I can check. Yeah.
Yeah, so
It looks like it does. I don't know. I'm gonna look into that. But I feel like Apple definitely has saturated the iPad market. I guess it's not a tablet market anymore. It's just iPad because they are the main tablet manufacturer.
yeah, let's face it, who's buying a goddamn Samsung tablet? Like,
I don't know. I mean, I have one from like 6 or 7 years ago and it stopped working. Well, okay. It didn't technically stop working because you can still turn it on, but it became slow to the point where it's unusable after like a year and a half. And it was like $320, something similar to the entry level iPad. And I have an entry level iPad now. And I mean, I've had it for years. It still works. I could still use it if I wanted to, but it's to the point where it's a little slow for me. And I feel like someone like my mom, who's just a little bit more patient and a little bit slower of a user, could use it for like 3 more years.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a power user. I like my devices to be. I'm a bit of a what do they call it? Power consumer. What do they call it? Like consumer who
Like prosumer.
presume. Yes, that's
Yeah.
how I describe myself. I like my devices to be as high end as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I used to kind of be like that, but now I've seen sort of the whole like plateau of like smartphones and how they're not really changing all that much year over year. Like now I'm just kind of like, well, this is enough. Like I used to definitely want like the best of the best more. And I definitely think like when I make purchases in the future with my own actual money, I'm gonna buy the best that I can afford just because it lasts longer. But I don't know.
I probably will too.
Yeah. iPad mini has a 15.
Okay, so it probably won't get a bump until at least September.
Yeah, I was right about the screen, 8.3 inches, LED, so it's nothing super special. Pixel density of 326, so that's standard. True tone.
Yada yada.
Yeah. Yeah. So, did you watch the whole event?
I watched most of it. I accidentally missed the first like 10, 15 minutes of it, but the rest of it I did watch. I'm trying to think. Was there anything else that there was to talk about?
So, yeah, they came out with this was like towards the beginning of the event, so it's towards the end of the website because it's, less exciting. I remember watching this part and they were like, now we're going to talk about iPhone. And I was like, okay, they're bringing it up first. It's not going to be anything big. They released a new iPhone SE.
Oh yeah, I saw. Oh yeah, I remember that. I saw the very end of that presentation, so I didn't get too much of that information. I think it has an A15. I
Yeah,
put
so
it
I
together.
actually saw the whole thing
Okay.
and I kind of laughed like halfway through because they were talking about it as if it's 100% new, sort of like they did during the iPad Air, because really the iPad Air is just barely new because they gave it the M1 chip and it has a new color, I think. All the other colors they had before, but it was the same type of thing with the SE, like the same design. I'm pretty sure it has the same colors. But yeah, so it starts at 429. Didn't it start at 399 before?
Maybe.
I feel like it did. I thought 100, not 429.
Maybe.
Yeah. But now it has 5G, and of course they love to talk about 5G to a fault.
I don't think I have 5G yet. So
You have an iPhone 13, right?
I know I don't use I know but I don't think the plan has 5G.
Yeah, that's another reason why I think 5G is a complete scam. But yeah, so the new iPhone SE, it has a new chip, so the A15. They say it has a leap in battery life, but I would love to actually see hands-on testing with 5G enabled because they said, like, oh, thanks to the A15's power efficiency, it has even more battery life. But I don't remember them giving actual numbers. And it says, oh, fast 5G connectivity, a design that's made to last. Like, they just wanted to emphasize the fact that it's cheap and it still will last you a while, plus a pretty good camera. I don't think they actually updated the camera, but they advertise the camera pretty heavily. And they actually seem pretty proud of the home button because one of the last things here on the website, it says a button you call home. So, I mean, I've never really seen them that proud of the home button, but okay, Apple.
Yeah. Well, I guess for the market they're aiming it at, those people usually like the home button.
Yeah, definitely.
I
I don't know. I'm surprised that it went up by $30 in price from what I can remember. And oh, here's the battery life section. This should be good. It says there's 2 hours more of video playback.
Accurate that is.
So I don't know. I mean, really, the only thing that can prove this is when YouTubers get it in their hands and they test it out. But I just feel like it's so small. Like, it seems impossible to have better battery life, especially while on 5G. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the iPhone 13 line did see a jump in battery life from the iPhone 12 line. So, I mean, I think the A15 is a little bit more efficient. Although, it's interesting because for a while, iPhones were advertised as having great battery life. And I think it was starting with the 11 and the 12, it went down like severely. I remember the 12, like the one complaint that everybody had about the 12 was that the battery life really wasn't as good.
And honestly, I think that was the worst year for them to do that because they've introduced a mini phone during the iPhone 12 year. And literally, when they came out with that, it was like, Apple, come on. Because the 11s actually got thicker than the 10s and the 10R. So they all got thicker, they got bigger batteries. And I have an 11. So, like, yeah, the battery is great. I mean, even though it's been used heavily for 2 years, it's doing great. But I'm kind of trying to kill my battery, but we don't talk about that. So, yeah, I don't understand why they wanted to make it thinner. Like, people loved the battery life of the 11. Like, everyone I know who has some form of the iPhone 11, they love the battery. I mean, I know people who have had iPhone 10s and then had to replace their battery, and I just feel like Apple should avoid making their users replace batteries, because just having to take care of a phone for that long, like replace this, replace that, like, it just makes it seem kind of pointless, and then users are going to start upgrading, and maybe that's what they want. I mean, they are a business at the end of the day.
I remember when I had my 10R. I remember like loving the battery life on the thing. The thing lasted forever. I used it very heavily and it got me through the day, no problem. But even when I switched to my 13, when I upgraded, that Samsung debacle. When I upgraded, when I got the 13, I heard that its battery life had been advertised as being good, but when I actually started using it, I found that the battery just wasn't as good as my 10R. It, even after like a couple of years of use, like it just wasn't la it still doesn't last me through the day. Like I have to plug it in. I mean, I'm a very heavy user of my phone. I use my phone all the time for everything.
Yeah, I am too.
So I'm unique in that aspect. Like I'm almost always on my phone. If I'm not doing something at school, if I'm not working on an assignment, I'm on my phone. If I'm on the when I'm on the bus on my way home from school, I'm on my phone. So my phone usually dies at around 4:30. I usually have to plug it in at around 4:30 every
Yeah,
day.
for me, I have to charge mine probably around four, so it's pretty close to yours. And I've been letting my phone drain all the way down to like almost zero or zero, and then charging it up close to 100 just because I kind of want to kill the battery. I'm going to see how long it takes, because I turned off the optimized battery charging because I wanted to see, like, genuinely, does it make a difference? Because I felt like it never did. Like, I check my battery health every now and then, like probably every 2 weeks, and I've been checking, and it almost seems like now that the battery health hit 83, it's just sitting at 83. It's really weird. I kind of feel like it's a scam, like the whole battery health thing.
For battery, I never liked optimized battery charging. Like my sleep schedule, especially on the weekends, is a bit erratic. So,
Same.
having optimized battery charging on like just never worked for me because my phone would never be charged by the time I woke up in the morning and it was always frustrating. I'm very I'm very obsessive about that.
Yeah. I mean, I've never had issues with like charging it and then it not being at 100 when I wake up, or at least close. So I feel like it just never learned my habits because I'm all over the place. 'Cause I know it needs to sort of have a routine to learn off of. And my issue with that is like I don't do the same thing every day. So, I mean, just as simple as like, okay, 5 days a week I'm going to school, waking up at 6:15 and using my phone in the morning and then plugging it in late at night. Like some nights I plug it in earlier because I go to bed earlier. Other nights I stay up a lot later and then I'm on it a lot more. So I just don't know how it would even learn my routine. I genuinely think that it wasn't doing anything when it was turned on because I've noticed no difference in like degradation or the actual battery life or like how fast it charges. It just seems like it's the same.
I mean, I took very good when I had my Canara, I took very good care of its battery. I after like 2 years of using it, it was only down to 98. It was down to 98%.
How did you do that? Because every phone I've had, I feel like I killed the battery.
I obsessed over charging it regularly. Like I never let it drop below a certain point.
What point did you not
Usually
let it?
20% usually. I usually plugged it in at 20%.
Yeah. I've been trying to do that with my phone, but I did not do that from the beginning when I bought this because when I first bought this phone, I did not like even know how to take care of a battery. I wasn't really aware of that. And then I started to like not let it drop below 20, but then I had an issue where I'd plug it in and forget about it and it would be like way above 80 because I'm pretty sure you're supposed to like let it go no higher than 80, right?
You can do that. I don't know if it really makes too much of a difference. I mean, you
Yeah.
can't keep a bunch of charge in it in it for a long time, for a long period of time, but I don't think that like overnight's too much of an issue.
Yeah, because I usually would charge my phone overnight, and that's the only thing where I wish the optimized battery charging was just better. I phone overnight, and I feel like since I got it, like now it doesn't last me through the whole day. When I first got this phone, it would last me from when I woke up for school at 6:15 and lived my entire day completely normally, like using my phone a lot. And then I'd come home and it would still be at like 40%, 50%. Now I come home and my phone's usually at like anywhere between 30 and 10. It's kind of bad. And lately it's been sort of near like 20 or less. And then other days, like when I use it a lot more than others, I end up having to charge it during my last class on my iPad, which I'm not happy about being from the iPad's battery, and that's not necessarily healthy for it.
Yeah, although the iPad's battery is much larger, so
Yeah, that's true. I just use it as my computer, so I do sort of obsess over the battery of the iPad. That's probably my only issue, honestly, like just trying to nurture this battery on my iPad the best I can.
yeah.
Yep. They also, wait, let me see back to the event because we kind of got sidetracked. What else came out? Oh, they came out with the green colors. Did you catch that part?
At the very end, they talked about it. I don't think there's really much to say about them.
I mean, they look nice.
I couldn't really see them too well. I mean, green's not really my thing. From my understanding, it was kind of a darker green.
Yeah. So
Like,
they're like both darker greens, but I'm pretty sure they're different colors depending on the model. So the Pros look sort of similar to that color that the 11 Pro came in, but it looks a little more green because I remember when I was buying my phone, I was like, should I get the green or should I just get the space gray and or the silver? I ended up getting the silver. I call it white. Like I have a bad habit of calling it white because it looks white. But yeah, the it's like a midnight green, but a little more green. And then the 13's green, it's still really similar in the photos. But I think it might be a little bit more saturated and like a little more poppy to go with like the blue of the 13.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of dark green. I
Yeah,
just
me neither.
don't. I don't like the color. I just don't find it visually appealing. I like a pale green. Like a pale saturated green would look really cool, I think.
Sort of like the.
The 5C type green, if you, I think the 5C came in green. Yeah, it did. From back in the day, that shade of green that like popped. That's personally my favorite kind of, that's my favorite shade of green.
I kind of did like the regular iPhone 11 green. It was like a lighter color. Like you could still notice that, hey, that's a green phone, but it wasn't like overpowering.
I just don't like that dark. It kind of, I don't know, just doesn't.
Yeah, I am just really glad they don't have a yellow iPhone anymore. Like I'm on the website right now looking at the 11, and oh my God, I really hope no one bought a yellow iPhone 11. It looks so bad. Like that's one color I just no.
Why? I don't mind the yellow.
I think it looks like a highlighter, and ever since I got that image in my head, it's like I don't know. It just makes me think of like first grade when I could like see better and I would use a highlighter and like I don't know, it makes me think of like school. Like it kind of looks like a kid's toy, like a toy iPhone 11.
Yeah, I mean I don't know, I kind of like that shade of yellow. Maybe it's because I can see that. Although
Yeah.
I like darker yellows though. Although I don't see I don't I although I think personally an iPhone with a darker shade of yellow would look ridiculous.
Sort of like a bronze.
Almost.
I feel like
Almost
a
like a gold, like
nice.
the iPhone 8 kinda
Oh,
like
like the. Do
blush.
you remember the 10S gold? That looked like a Band-Aid.
Yeah, no, I didn't like that.
Yeah, when that came out, I was like, okay, I like gold iPhones because my first iPhone was a 7 Plus in gold. And that was great. But that was also like a champagne gold. Like it wasn't like a Band-Aid. It was darker than like Band-Aid gold, and it wasn't super light. Like I don't know. It was a great color in my opinion. But then the 10S kind of looked like a Band-Aid. It was like a little too yellow and sort of skin color. Okay, that makes it me sound racist. I swear I'm not racist. But like, you know, okay, I swear this is not going to take a turn for the worst, but like, you know, when you're little and like you would like color with crayons or whatever, and like you would call that like pale, sort of like yellowish, orangish sort of skin tone, like white person skin tone color, you would call that like skin color.
Yeah, I mean, I never did, but I know
I
what
know
you mean.
what I.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, that's what I
I
called it.
know what you mean. I know what
I'm
you mean.
sorry, but like, I'm a white person from a very small town that's not very diverse at all. So this is just like what we all called it, at least in my area. I'm sorry, but we all called it like skin color. That's literally what the 10S gold looked like to me. It was like old Crayola marker, not marker, crayon skin color. Like that's it looked sort of like an apricot, and I just did not like that. It no.
I personally like the eight type gold. That was my favorite.
Yeah, that was sort of like a more light gold. Like it looked kind of like silver if you weren't paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, it looked kind of cool.
Yeah, I liked more subtle colors, but not necessarily so subtle where I'm like, I cannot tell the difference. Like the blue iPad Air. I thought that was the silver one for a second, and I had to like blink a few times and really focus. I was like, wait, this looks kind of blue. Is this blue?
Yeah.
That was
That's for
just
the new iPad Air or the old one?
the old one. I have not seen
Oh.
the new one yet, but that was like in person when I was looking at the old one.
Oh.
Yeah, because now the new one, I mean, I can just tell a difference by looking at the website images. Because with the old one, I was like, wait, this is hard to tell, like even online. But the new one sort of looks like the Sierra blue in a way, because it's like a lighter blue but still darker than the old iPad Air.
So it's like the same color as the iPhone 13 type, or
Not
is it?
quite. It seems lighter than the iPhone 13 because the 13, I've seen that in person. One of my classmates has a 13 mini in blue and it's like a lot darker, still lighter than I forget what phone it was. that came in a blue. Oh, the 10R. It's still like not super poppy like that, but this new iPad Air blue, it's like sort of steel blue. Like it's not super poppy. It's not like hard to tell that it's blue, but it's like not completely blue. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I know what you mean.
Yeah. I really like it. I genuinely like this. I think it'll hopefully look good in person. But the thing is, they always look different depending on the lighting.
Yeah. Me personally, I don't like the shade of blue on the iPhone 13. It looks too... I'm trying to describe it. It looks too gray. Like it's
on the regular 13?
Yeah. Or not gray. Gray's not the right way to describe it.
Sort of
unsaturated.
Yeah. It does kind of look... Well, I mean, I get what you're saying by like gray. Because it's like a... It's not like a steel blue like the iPad Air. It's like more of a grayish bluish that like looks like metal. Like, I don't know. I'm looking at the 13 now. It kind of does. At least on the images. I feel like in person it actually looked better than online. Online it kind of looks like... It's just boring. It looks kind of sad. I feel like in person it looked more like bright than in the pictures.
Yeah. When I saw videos, at least of the... When I was watching videos on the other iPad Air... in blue, it looked pretty saturated. Like, it was pale. Like, when I saw reviewers, because a lot of reviewers liked the blue color, they had... Yeah,
I don't know. I just thought it was too light. Like, it looked too much like silver. Like, I don't necessarily want colors like 10R colors, where it was, like, stoplight red. Well, they still have that red. I just personally don't like it. The sort of stoplight yellow and like the blue that basically stood out no matter how you put it in a case. Like, I could always tell, like, from a distance, I'd be like, oh, that person has a blue 10R. Like, when it first came out and I saw tons of people with that phone, I just really didn't like it. I thought it was too bright. It looked like the iPhone 5C, like, I swear they took those colors and just put it on a newer phone.
I don't know. I like poppy colors when it comes to those kind of things. I guess it's just a personal preference of mine. It's easier to see.
I mean, it depends on who you are, because we all have different perspectives.
Yeah. But I know a lot of people don't like
their
phone to, like, stand out like that.
I mean, honestly, I'm fine with them having the poppy colors on, like, the regular phones, because my next phone is probably going to be a Pro iPhone. Not to sound bougie or anything, unless if they come out with like a larger regular iPhone, because there have been some rumors about that.
I don't know. I don't see that happening. They might like upsize. Maybe they'll upsize the regular phones by like 0.2 of an inch. But
yeah, I don't know. I just love the idea of like not having to spend over $1,000 to get like a larger phone just because I want the bigger screen, because honestly the cameras on the regular phones are fine. Like, I don't need the Pro camera.
Yeah, I don't use the camera on my phone very much, so it doesn't matter to me. But
yeah, I like taking pictures, so I appreciate a good camera, but I don't necessarily need it. Like, I'm okay with getting a phone that just doesn't have the latest and greatest, yet it's still really good. Like, I don't necessarily need the greatest. I just want the latest. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. It's weird, because like when the iPhone 11s came out, I was like, will the... It was, I think, more difficult than it'll be for me to get a new phone whenever I end up getting one within the next year or two. Because I was going from a 7 Plus that still had the home button. So with that design, I was like, okay, the 11, just the plain 11, that'll be bigger than this phone. Like, the display will be, but the phone itself is about the same size, maybe a little smaller in footprint. Yet it would still be a display upgrade, right? Like, I looked at them and held them next to my old phone, and I was trying to decide. And then I was like, okay, but I'll probably get used to this too quickly. Like, I kind of wanted a big screen, like the biggest possible. And I kind of loved the 11 Pro just because it was like kind of smaller and easier to hold in one hand. And then I was like, do I really care about using one-handed? And I really don't. I just love a big screen. So then I ended up with the Pro Max, and it's big, but I don't use anything on it other than the big screen. Like, I don't really care about the telephoto lens or the ultra. Well, the ultra wide's kind of nice, but the telephoto is like kind of useless, because I felt like if you really want to zoom in and not lose clarity, then just like move closer. I don't know.
Yeah, I've only gotten a chance to play with the Pros or the Pro Maxes at the store. I've always used the 6.1 inch iPhones, so I haven't gotten too much of an experience, but yeah, I do love the size of the Pros. I like big screens too.
Yeah, and honestly, now just knowing that the Pro Maxes are even bigger than mine, that sounds beautiful. Like, I've used them in the Apple Store, but having one, it's just like, I know it's a minor difference because mine's 6.5 inches and the new ones are 6.7, but still, like, that extra screen space, oh my God, it's like holding a little tablet. It's beautiful. Like, they're just so big. Like, honestly, that's why I would spend the money on one, but it's like, it's so difficult to justify because that's the same price as a computer. Like, what in the world? Like, why in the world would I spend that much when I could just get, I don't know, a new iPad, so then I wouldn't need to always use my phone? Because then there's that other side of me that's like, okay, well, if I got a really expensive, like, bigger phone, I wouldn't necessarily need an iPad. I could just trade in my iPad 6 and use that gift card towards a phone and also trade in my phone. Like, I don't know, maybe I could do that. It's complicated to figure this out because I'm like, what do I need? What don't I need? It's so hard.
Yeah, I know I'd rather stick with an iPad because iPads do have advantages. Like you get the larger app store. You get more, you can do more things with an iPad. Like you get more features. You get certain desktop class features that you don't get with an iPhone.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's definitely a different experience, but at the same time, like, the stuff I use an iPad for, I genuinely feel like I could use my phone for. Because the past few months, I have really only turned on my iPad to like check for updates, and that's really it. So I just don't know if I need that. Because my iPad before has always been like a middle ground in between like a computer and a phone. But at the same time, I use my iPad Pro for school for all my computer needs. And then I seem to do all my FaceTiming and texting and email, all that stuff, watching stuff on my phone just because it's more handy since it's not quite the size of an iPad. So, I don't know. It gets so complicated to me because you could end up spending less on a phone and then get like a mid-size iPad so that you don't necessarily use your phone as your main device. But then it's almost the same as spending more on one and using one device more than two, splitting in between the two.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on your use case. If you do want to use those extra iPad features, like Switch Playgrounds, which, by the way, I didn't know you could create apps and submit them from there.
Yeah.
Is that a new thing, or was that?
I'm trying to think. I think they came out with that when they made the new iPad Pro with the M1. I
Because
feel like I remember it coming out then because they were like, oh, the iPad Pro is getting more powerful with software too. Like, they sort of teased it like that, and everyone thought that they were going to release Mac OS for the iPad Pro, but then it didn't happen.
Or at the very least, Xcode.
Yeah, or like pro apps. And it was really just like, no, Swift Playgrounds. Because those apps, like, I've heard about like what you can actually do on Swift Playground, because I don't really use it. I don't really have an interest in developing apps, but it's not very powerful. You can make like basic apps, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't allow for a ton of flexibility. So I feel like they added that feature just to be like, you can make apps on an iPad. Look.
Yeah, I think especially with most of the iPads on M1 chips now, they could really bring Xcode to the iPad if they really wanted to at this point. Like there's no reason they can't.
Yeah, and I mean even I've thought about that, and like if they wanted to bring Xcode to the iPad and their excuse was like, oh, maybe performance is too slow across the board, like to introduce it. Now all of the iPads have either A15 or an M1. So I feel like both of those chips should be fast enough to do anything with Xcode. I mean, not anything, but it could run Xcode. I mean, if they wanted to, they could just say, okay, iPad Air and Pro can do Xcode and then not have it on the App Store for the other iPads. But I just don't see Apple usually like roll something out for like the whole lineup. Like they're not going to just say only this specific product line and this product line can do this. Like with the Macs, like this makes me kind of think about how they let you run iPad apps on the Mac now. They didn't like say, oh, only these specific Macs can do it because they're more powerful or whatever. They were just like, okay, well, anything with Apple Silicon can do that. So I don't know. I look at it sort of similarly because at this point, our devices are getting so powerful that like most of them should be able to handle that.
Yeah, it is absurd, because I remember that being an excuse a while back, like when back during the early years, the iPad Pro, especially when Apple was painting, when Apple was trying to promote it as a computer replacement. I mean, now it for the most part is. Back in the
Yeah,
day,
for
it
me it
wasn't.
is. I mean, at school, I mentioned this in my last podcast episode, when I talked about like how I use my Apple devices for school. And it's like basically my computer. I only have to use my laptop for school like a few times a year. Like this year, I just started using it for this one app that we needed to do a simulation activity in one of my business classes. And that's the only reason I'm using it. Like, I keep it in that teacher's classroom because, first of all, the school ordered me a 17-inch laptop and it's way too big to lug around. But yeah, it's just not necessary. Like, the iPad is so much better at doing what I need it to do.
Yeah, I mean, I used to use an iPad in school, and it worked for me. It worked for me for a while. I mean, I use a Windows laptop now, but I very much was able to get by with no issues, with an iPad. But and yeah, nowadays, the iPad is pretty much full-fledged laptop replacement. I mean, the one thing that does limit it though is iPadOS.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not even the access to pro applications that bothers me because I don't really need them. It's the fact that on the iPad, like because it's iPadOS, you have to save things a certain way. Like when I go in to edit a document, sometimes I'll be like, let's say I'm just in Safari, right? I'm like, okay. I downloaded a document. It's in the download section in Safari. I'm like, okay, can I just drag and drop it into a folder real quick? And the way that it works, like with the dock, is that like you have to move your mouse to the bottom edge and like sort of slam it against the bottom edge in order for the dock to show up, and then like move the Files app icon up, and then it opens like a little slide overview of the Files app, and then I can drag my document into the folder I want it to go into, and like. It might seem like a small thing, but on a Mac, like the dock is always there, so you don't have to like vigorously like move your mouse to the bottom to get it to show up. And honestly, my biggest problem with that is that sometimes it just doesn't work. It decides to just not do it. And that's a whole like it's an iPad type of thing. Like it's not meant to be used as a computer 100%, yet it's marketed as that and kind of is that on the outside. So it bugs me. Like, it's little stuff like that. Like, there are weird bugs like that where I'm like, oh my God, if this was a Mac, it would be so much easier. Or if they just changed it so that there was a setting where I could have the dock always on the screen, that would help because then I wouldn't have to worry about it not popping up and then having to swipe up with my finger or do command control D for the dock to show up. Like, it's just, there's little things like that. And I can't really think of a ton of them right now, but I'm sure, like, if I tried to do a normal school day of work right now on my iPad, I could tell you all about the little bugs that it has.
Yeah, but I have a feeling that I don't know when Apple is finally going to decide to like, or at the very least expand the functionality of iPadOS because it is way more limiting than the hardware that
Yeah.
runs devices. It limits a lot. It doesn't even have proper file. It does have file management, but it's not real file management.
Oh no, it's not. It's definitely not. It just, it's so bad. Like, I sometimes have sort of large files, like if I'm editing a YouTube video on the iPad, which I do occasionally. And oh my God, it is literally the worst because I'll be moving something to either another folder or I'll be putting something in an iCloud folder or whatever. And because it's like 3 gigabytes, it sits there and you have no clue if it's actually moving the file or if it just like timed out and decided to not do it because that happens. And I'll be moving something like it just needs a little bar to tell me, like, look, it's moving and this much has been moved already. Like, it has no indication. I'll just put something in a folder and pray to God that it pops up in the right place. And it's so nerve-wracking because I can sit here for a while and be like, okay, is it just taking a while or did it stop? And you just don't know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a mess.
Well, I'm hoping that iPadOS 16, is that what it would be? Yeah,
Yeah.
iPadOS 16 is a major improvement when it
Hopefully.
comes out, when it's announced in at WWDC.
Yeah, I mean, the last version of iPadOS basically added nothing. I mean, it didn't have like a big feature that really meant something. Like the widgets, I was like, oh my gosh, amazing. Like they're basically just taking up space on my home screen. Like I don't have anything else to put here, so I have a few widgets. But other than that, like I don't use them. Maybe a glance at the weather every now and then. But half the time, it literally shows the wrong location. Like right now, it shows Cupertino. I'm on the East Coast. Like, what?
Yeah, one thing though I do like about iPadOS that they added is the app library, and what I like even more about the app library on the iPad specifically is that you can put it in the dock so that you can very easily access it because it's very frustrating on an iPhone to have to scroll through everything to get to the stupid app library to find
Yeah, I get what you're
iPhone
saying.
matches. I wish you could just add it to the dock.
Yeah,
It's
that would be kind of nice. I kind of, okay. Most of the time when I'm using my iPad, maybe this is just a personal thing, but since I have the keyboard anyways, like I just do command space and I search for stuff. So, like, the app library wasn't really helpful for me, but I can see why it would be helpful. Like, I just, dealing with the dock on the iPad kind of pisses me off because of the whole thing that I told you about where you move the mouse to
yeah.
the bottom. It's like, come on, Apple. Like, you make Macs. You've made Macs for so long. They use a mouse primarily. Like, why is the mouse experience on the iPad so inconsistent? I just don't get it.
I think it's because Apple didn't. I believe the mouse feature was supposed to be an accessibility feature.
Yeah, I think it originally was.
iPadOS is supposed to be a primarily like touch-based operating system,
Yeah.
and that's what they kind of expect people to do with it.
Yeah, I get that. But at the same time, they sell a $300 case with a trackpad. So I don't know. It doesn't make much sense to me. But that's just the way it is, I guess. We don't make the decisions.
No, we don't.
Nope. Yeah, the event was pretty eventful, haha, dad joke.
I mean, it was, especially for a March event. They're usually
Yeah,
this big.
I was expecting like a, I don't know. I was just expecting like AirPods, new color iPhone, new iPhone SE, and like that was it. But definitely there was much more to talk about than I thought. I actually thought they were not going to come out with a new form of Apple Silicon either. I thought it was just going to be like maybe a new device of some kind with the existing M1 Pro or Max. But yeah.
Well, I mean, they did. They came out with some decent products for the studio, the Mac Studio. It's not meant for consumers. I feel like the only consumer products they really talked about were the iPhone and the iPad Air, and
Yeah,
that was it.
it was pretty strange in that sense. Like I thought it would be much more consumer oriented, but yeah, I don't know. I still wonder if Apple will make like a more of consumer level screen, because the market is definitely there. Like I know so many people who would want that, especially with the pandemic and like seeing how many people used monitors. Like I have a small TV in my room and I used that as a monitor for a little bit, because when I was doing Zoom, like it was just so nice to have a big screen because I was at my desk so much. I'm thinking like, why do I have to sit here for 8 hours or more looking at a 13-inch or 15-inch screen? Like I don't know, I have all this space, I'm not going anywhere. Might as well.
Apple did used to make, if my memory serves me correctly, they used to make consumer level displays way
Yeah.
back in the day. It
It was like a, I forget what they called it, but it looked like an iMac, but it just
was,
didn't have a Mac in it.
yeah, it was, I think it was called the cinema display, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I've never gotten to use one, but my grandparents, they have an iMac still that looks just like those old cinema displays. And honestly, that would be really cool. Just like having one that sort of looks like an iMac, but is a screen. And that's all. Like, I don't know. That would be great. Like, honestly, all they have to do is put like iPad speakers in it and I don't know, a camera. Like, it doesn't even have to have center stage. They could just release one with a regular iPhone front-facing camera. And I feel like it would do great. Like, it doesn't even have to be 4K. I'm sure Apple would want to make it 4K, but whatever. Like, make it under 1,000, under 800 at least. Like, it would be fantastic to see.
Yeah, I get it. It's like for my PC especially, because the display I have for it is terrible.
Yeah.
But Apple seems to be hell-bent on only making their displays for creators.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, there is a market for that, but at the same time, like, there are everyday people that would love a screen made by a company like Apple, because the amount of brands that I saw on Amazon that make monitors are, I feel like it's, first of all, there's not that many brands out there that make basic monitors, and they're all like either too expensive for what it is, or if you find one that's cheaper, it's ugly. Like just a simple design would be nice. No logo on the front. I mean, maybe an Apple logo on the front if they wanted to, but just something simple, something basic. Like, that's all it needs to be. And honestly, the more basic the design is, the better, because then they could make it for cheaper and have a higher profit margin, which I know Apple loves. But yeah, it's just really disappointing that they haven't done that. Like, I feel like they never will now. Like, if they came out with this display, then why would they come out with one that's cheaper? Like, it just doesn't seem like that would happen.
It's not an Apple thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad though that this display is cheaper than the Pro Display XDR, because it, I feel like the Pro Display XDR just needs to go. Like at this point, why is it there? I don't get it.
Me neither, especially because I think it has probably a similar pixel density. It's 6K, and I think it's like 32 inches.
Yeah, so I was looking on the website earlier and it is 32 inches and 6K. Instead of the 27-inch 5K display that they came out with today. I mean,
Similar pixel density, I'm pretty sure.
it has to be. It just,
Maybe
I don't know.
a few less pic a few more pixels, maybe, but not anything noticeable.
Yeah, and I don't know if I noticed during the event, did they talk about the studio display being mini LED, or at least like mini LED?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, so I wonder if that's why they're keeping it around, like for the contrast. Because I don't know, like, why else it would still be there. Oh, did we lose you? Okay. Looks like we lost connection, but we're back. So, anything else you want to add?
No, I think I've said everything I wanted to say.
Okay, well, this is much longer than most of my episodes were. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on because honestly, I'm normally just talking to myself about tech, but today I didn't have to talk to these four walls.
Yeah, it was good to be here.
So yeah, if you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening to it on. And as always, I hope. Feel free to let us know what you thought, give any suggestions, and I will see you in the next one. Take care, guys.